Well, we certainly have rich and thought-provoking scripture today, don't we? A lot of great words and spoken so meaningfully so that we can understand it and hear these words in a fresh way today. We want to turn now to our Bibles and continue in our study of the seven churches that Jesus spoke to in what is now known as Turkey. Today we're going to be looking at a city, a town, a church, in this area that we're very, very familiar with. It's the only one of the seven that we probably are most familiar with because of its name, and its name is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love as we know it. Of course, this city is not in the United States. It's found over in the Mideast. And so we are going to be looking at what this church meant to Jesus and the message that he gave to it there. Would you mind if I just pray very short prayer for the word as we go into it? Father, I pray that the words of my mouth will be pleasing in your sight today. I pray, Father, that your spirit will speak to us all. As we look at your word, as we listen to your voice, may we apply it to our lives, Lord, and may we be enriched by it so that we can go out and bless others with it as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, at the beginning of each of the messages to the churches, Jesus refers back to a passage in the first chapter of Revelation. Today's is not as exact as the others are. It mentions in the key. The key is mentioned in this passage that begins this kind of an area here. But before we look at that, let me tell you a little bit more about the town itself, the church itself there, historically. The district that it was found in this city of Philadelphia, was dangerously volcanic. There were volcanoes in the area, and the ancient city was destroyed by an earthquake, or at least almost destroyed completely, in AD 17. It was rebuilt by AD 19, and a Church of Jesus Christ was started there. It was rebuilt actually with the intention of making a landmark of Greek language and culture. And so there were all kinds of buildings and different things culturally that they were looking to serve there. But God had other plans for this city, and he had a church planted there. And it was a church that received affirmation without correction. Isn't that something that we would love to have said about our church? That our church has affirmation, well done, as we just heard, well done, faithful servant. You're doing things well, right? And that is what Jesus said to this church. There wasn't any mention of correction. And so that doesn't mean we're going to have a shorter sermon today. So I'm sorry to tell you, we have a lot of good things to talk about. Even though there's no correction mentioned, there's tons of things that we're going to hear that are challenging, but also very, very rewarding to us and hopeful. And so now that we know a little bit about this church there, we also want to know a little bit about the things that they were going through. Of course, it was still in an area where there was a great deal of opposition to the gospel. Those of the Jewish faith were against it. They were against the growing Christianity that was there. And so we're going to meet scripture that deals with that message as well. There was also still a lot of idol worship going on. And the threat and temptation faced this church, but they withstood this temptation, and they were true to Jesus. And so he has this important message to them. And because we are Christians and our Bible speaks to us today, it is also for us. So let's look at the words of the message to Philadelphia. First of all, there are going to be three key symbols that are going to be mentioned here, okay, and that we're going to go through today. First, a door. Second, a key. And third, a pillar. So there's a door, a key, and pillar symbols throughout all the scripture. Let me just read the beginning scripture again to give you an idea of what we're talking about, what Jesus is saying to them. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. So here in these couple of verses, we see the first two symbols that we're going to be talking about coming up in the first part of the sermon, and the pillar will come into view during the promise that Jesus gives to the people there. We also know from the second part of verse 8 that it was a church that was small in power. It says, "I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." So it was a small but powerful church. It was maybe it was small in number. Perhaps it was poor people living there. They didn't have a lot of money. We don't know for sure, but it could have been either one of those things. But in any case, they have little power, but they have kept God's word and have not denied the name of Jesus there. So let's take a look at the door and the meaning of the door. I have placed before you the open door that no one can shut. The meaning for this open door is in two areas. Okay? John Stott effectively calls the door mentioned by Jesus as the door of opportunity. And so we're going to first look at the door of opportunity of salvation, and then after that, the opportunity of service, the door of opportunity that leads to service. So first, we'll take a look at salvation. Matthew 7, 13, and 14 is fresh on our minds. We heard it last week. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. Two gates, or doors, we can call them doors. The wide door with a wide road that leads somewhere. The narrow door, the one that Jesus says to enter through, but it has a small, low entrance and a narrow way leading somewhere. Few find this one, but this is the one that Jesus says to enter. The wide door and the wide path are more popular because everyone is doing it. I have plenty of time in my life. I can think about God later. I can think about that other door and the narrow way later in my life, but first I want to enjoy my life. Right? I'm going to take this road and enter the wider door. But Jesus says that that leads to destruction. He says if we choose the narrow door, the narrow road, it will lead to life. And that is the one that we want to choose as well. So the question is ours. Do we want an easier life that leads to destruction, or are we willing to live a life for God that is, for a time, harder, but that leads to life? Do we want God, or do we not want God? Okay, so this is the question of salvation. Do we want to be saved? Do we want to have that life that Jesus is offering to us? Or are we foolish and denying that and seeing the error of our ways, ignoring that and going away from God? No, we want to choose Jesus. Second is the opportunity of service. Right? The door that leads to the opportunity of service. John Stott writes this: Christian believers who have received salvation as a free gift from God through Jesus Christ are deeply concerned about the material and spiritual welfare of their fellow human beings. Having gone through the door of salvation, they hurry through the door of service to look for others, and in the words of Jesus, compel them to come in. Very well stated, I think, by John Stott, you know, for us to see that we go through that door and then we want to run through that door for service as well. We're not content with our own salvation. We want others to know about Jesus. The Apostle Paul, one of the great examples of a saved Christian who understood this, said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, "A great door for effective work has opened to me." He was speaking of the door that opened in Ephesus for him to spread the gospel. He spent 3 years there preaching, giving public lectures in a hired hall, visiting people privately in their own homes. It was the door of opportunity that God provided through the Holy Spirit, and he went through that door when it opened up. In the book of Colossians, Paul also writes to the church there, "Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Colossians 4, 3 and 4. Brothers and sisters, have you been praying for doors to open for the gospel? You can do that now. You can pray for missionaries. You can pray for yourself, you know, being a witness of Christ. We have a very special guest who's going to speak after the sermon today, after the responsive song. And his name is Sebash Matthew. And he has been actively serving on the Fairleigh Dickinson University campus. And he has come today to share that with us. Sorry, there's a little background noise we have to fix for a second. Good. Okay, so we've solved that problem. All right, so Sebash Matthew is here, and he's going to be sharing with us. I can tell you, in the short time that I know Sebash, that it has not been easy. He came to serve in Fairleigh Dickinson University. It's very short distance from our church, and our church has been active there for many years. Our church even met on that campus. But in the time over there, in the recent time, the doors have been closing to the gospel. In fact, in many universities throughout our nation, they have been closing the door for Christian fellowships to meet. But Sebash and his family and people who know him and have been supporting that ministry have been praying for the doors to be open. And I can tell you with praise to God that doors have slowly been opening and there has been less resistance. And we have seen that through the prayer, just like Paul was praying for Sebash and for his wife, Pretty, and for their ministry, that they're beginning to make some movement there. But it's hard at first. You have to persevere. You have to be committed to the kingdom of God, and that is what he does. And we'll hear more from him in just a little bit. What does the open door of opportunity mean? Right? There have been some who say that it's due to the cultural environment primed for change, that the gospel can come in and that things are open and things have changed so that we can see that places that were closed before are now opening up. But there's also places like the Church of Philadelphia found itself where there was opposition, right? They faced opposition from the Jewish leaders, from people there who were against Christianity, against their claim that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, right? In the midst of that, brothers and sisters, God still can make a door open, right? And so there's one place where it's an obvious opening and people can go in freely. There's other ones that seem somewhat closed, but God is opening a door there, and we need to seek that. We need to think in those terms, be open door Christians, thinking that even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the worst chaos in our country with violence abounding and people turning on each other, God is greater than any kind of a situation that we face. And we see an open door even though others can't, because the Holy Spirit gives us that sight. Our hearts are filled with hope because we know that Jesus Christ is real and he's touched our lives and nothing could stop him at all. And so we want to remember, right? The church was going to face times of tribulation, but God was going to spare them from that tribulation because he was with them. And we also have to know that God is going to use us in the times that we're living in so that we can praise him and give glory to his name. Amen? So let's praise God for that. Let's look at the key next. The key, the words of the Holy One, the true one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. This is actually referring back to the mention of Isaiah 22. A man named Eliakim was one of three delegates chosen to negotiate for the kingdom of Judah with the Assyrian court leaders. He had been steward over King Hezekiah's household, and God gave him this authority, calling him a father to those who live in Jerusalem. God said, "I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." You can look at that in Isaiah 22, 21, and 22. Eliakim is a foreshadowing of a much greater authority, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He has been given the key of David, given authority to open doors that no one can shut, and also to shut doors which no one can open. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 says that Jesus has the keys of death and Hades. Here in the message to Philadelphia, he holds the key to salvation and service. And so let's go again with this key symbol and representing that which Jesus Christ possesses, this authority. Look at salvation once again. The key of salvation is in the hand of Christ. It is the key which opened the door mentioned in verse 8. I have placed you before an open door. He opened the door long ago, and it is still open today. How? By the cross. By the cross that he died upon. He gave himself on that cross. He was the innocent Lamb of God who died for you and for me. And the door was open for us to be saved. We only need to believe in him, in the power of the cross. And so you can imagine there's a door, and before that door is the cross of Jesus Christ. And we bow to that, and we receive Christ, and our sins are washed away. We are renewed, we are made new, and we rise up with the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit given to Christ in his resurrection, and we rush through that door that stands before us to embrace the salvation that is ours. Praise God. Praise God for the cross. Jesus also possesses the authority, it says, to close the door that cannot be reopened. Just as there's a message of salvation, there is equally one that the time will come for those who do not believe to knock on a locked door, unable to enter in. You can read in Luke 13, 24 to 28, that many will stand before the door, knocking to enter in, only to hear the words, I don't know you, I don't recognize you. We need to take note of this and take the message of Jesus seriously while there is still time. Many of us think that we can just live our lives as we want and still receive the gift of eternal life. But Jesus says the door is shut, and he has the power to shut that door. He has the key to lock that door. And that should strike us with an urgency to proclaim the gospel. Service. The key opens also the door to opportunity in spreading the gospel, in serving others. There are times when God closes the door until the time is right. But we see here that Jesus is speaking to the church in Philadelphia, saying that he has the key, the authority to open doors, even for a church which is small and is lacking power in some way. He is the power. He is the power. And so if you feel weak and you feel that you're not able to make it to take heart, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ is the power that gives us life to endure. And not only that, but to be used for his glory. Claim it today. It is yours. Right? So we will remember that Jesus is the door, right? Jesus has the key which leads to Christians going in where the Holy Spirit leads to serve him, to bring the gospel. The church must obey and go through the open doors provided by God. I can tell you a story of there were a group of young people that came to our church one time. This was many years ago. And they told us that they were learning a language for a country that had been closed to the outside. And they already had young people and people in place living on the other side of the border to enter into that Asian country when the door opened. And they were waiting there, praying, learning the language for the country that they were about to enter, preparing themselves. And waiting for that day when God was going to open the door. Isn't that wonderful? That they had such faith that they prepared themselves to learn that foreign language, knowing that God was going to open that door. And when it opened, they would go through that door, speaking in the language that God had prepared them with, so that they could speak the words of living life into the hearts of those who would listen there. That is the kind of attitude that we also need to have. We have time now to pray. We have time now to get on our knees and say, God, teach me what I need to know to go into the place that you're going to send me. And now in the midst of all these things that are going on, Lord, use me now. Open doors around me. Open the door so that I can speak to my neighbors. Open the door, Lord, so that I can bring it to the governor of New Jersey, that I can bring it to the Congress people, to the mayors of the towns that we live in, so that the town that we live in is no longer known for things cultural, right? Or things that matter in that way. But can you claim the power of Jesus Christ to come into the town that you call home and into the schools that you attend and your children attend and the things that you're involved with and say, I pray, Lord, for this town to be renowned and famous for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a very strong message from this passage today. We need to obey God. We need to be missionaries. We need to support missionaries. We need to prepare ourselves by being trained. We need to take things seriously now so that when the time comes, that God is going to give us that opportunity to do so. Will you pray about that? And we can talk more about these things. Tomorrow I'm going to make a video, and I'm going to begin sending out a Monday mission video, a very short one that I hope that you'll watch. And it's going to introduce different ministries that we can be a part of, beginning with the one at FDU. And you can pray about it, and you can have God speak to your heart about those things. I'm going to send that video out, and I'll also try to send out a written version of it. But I want you to just take some time and listen to that video so that you can hear about the opportunities coming up each Monday, to know about the opportunities for open doors that we can walk through with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The promise, the last thing, the last symbol, what a great one, right? That we will be strong as pillars in the temple, right? We are made this way through our obedience. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. God promises that we are safe from his wrath when we have Jesus Christ and when we dedicate our lives to him. I am coming soon, Jesus says. Hold fast what you have. Again, this message of holding fast so that no one may seize your crown. We need to persevere in it. We need to support one another in this, in our prayers. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We want to be pillars in the temple of God. We want to be strong in Christ, who possesses everlasting life. We want to be seen as people who are one day going to be those kind of pillars that are in God's temple, in his presence. It's a wonderful day that is coming for us, and it's one that we can look forward to. It's one that we don't need to fear. It's one that is going to come with the blessings of heaven to us, and we have these opportunities given to us by Jesus Christ, by his dying on the cross and coming into our lives. There are so many ways, brothers and sisters, for us to bless one another during these times. This whole reading today is filled with words and symbols that you can take with you now. One of a door that God, that Jesus Christ is going to open up in front of you. What is going to be the door that God is going to open for you during this next season? What is the door that Jesus is going to open with that key that he possesses, with the authority of knowing that Jesus is going to do it and he's going to bring it about because he has that authority that he has shown and that he is worthy of by dying on the cross for our sins and showing us how to live life for other people, right? And being that pillar in the midst of a world that is crashing down around us, and that we are going to stand firm in Christ and point in his direction and say that he is the one that is going to change this world. It's not going to be done by any political power or any man or any woman. It is going to come through the powerful creator of this universe, the savior of this universe, and the one that holds the future in his hand. Let us listen to and sing along with a responsive song that speaks of the key of David and rejoice as we see how God is going to open up doors for us.